you'll start viewing heaven as more than just someone flicking grapes into someone's mouth, sitting back under the palm trees, and understanding that heaven is like a courtroom setting, and there is an enemy that's constantly trying to accuse you. And that's that little whisper that you heard in your ear a few minutes ago. It's always trying to say you can't, you're not good enough, you're faking it, you're a hypocrite. Old church word right there. In other words, it means that you're just faking it. Like, we know how you really are during the week. Okay, you can look like that on Sunday, but I know how you are on Tuesday. And I really know how you are on Friday night or Saturday night or anything. But that's the enemy lying. So the courtroom setting, when you understand who God is and when you understand what your position is in Christ, not your position outside of Christ, but your position in Christ brings you into a place of standing, and God now looks at you the way He is intended to look at you. And when He sees you through that eye, you are protected. You can take comfort in your stance, and you will learn to depend on Him more and more and stronger because it's all right there in Him. So Zechariah chapter 3 is just such a beautiful picture into what's going on in the heavenlies. And it says this. I'm just going to read down to verse 5. This is Zechariah who is receiving a vision of Joshua, who is the high priest. Zechariah is a prophet of God. And all of God's people have just come out of 70 years of exile, and the fact is they're dirty. It's no secret they're dirty. They're not just dirty, they're guilty. And they're guilty because they rebelled against God. And they chose to serve other gods. And in other words, they put things in front of God. Now, we can look at it and we can say, okay, rebellion against God. I'm not a rebellious person because I believe in God. But do you put God first? Because that's what He counts. Is He first? Colossians 3, verse 17 says, verse 1, chapter 1, Colossians 1, verse 17 says, He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. If He is before all things, that means He's first. So the question becomes this: is He first? Is He first? Because in Him all things consist. If He's first, things will pull together in your life. And if He's not first, it's no wonder things are falling apart. Do you see that principle in that? All right, let's go back to the Word. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. Then He showed me Joshua. This is an angel of the Lord giving him a vision. He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. Do you see it's like a courtroom setting already? You see that? And like I said, they've come out of exile and they were guilty of rebelling against God. So they were dirty and all the people were dirty. And the sin of the people was on Joshua, who was the high priest. And he's standing before the Lord to present himself and the people to the Lord. And Satan is standing there ready to accuse him of all the guilt that God already knows about. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan, the Lord who has chosen Israel," these dirty people, "the Lord who has chosen Israel rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" In other words, he is saying, you remember what I showed you last week, that little piece of wood that had been burned? It was a brand. He said like this. He said, these people have been burning for 70 years in exile. These people were taken 1,000 miles away from their homes. They were pulled from their homes, and they've been punished for 70 years. And he's saying, I see their guilt, and I know their shame, but I'm telling you this. Are they not, have they already not suffered? They're a brand pulled from the fire. That no wonder that they smell like smoke. No wonder their garments are dirty. I made this comparison. Us telling someone else that they're dirty and that they are sinful is usually not news to them. Is that fair enough to say? But God said, I've chosen them. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. This is a picture of God's mercy that he has for his children. He knows how dirty we are. But if we come before him, even though the enemy has all the evidence, the Lord shut the mouth of the enemy immediately. There was no discussion when God said, but I have chosen them, and I rebuke you. There's nothing else to say about the situation. That's a picture of where you're. And then God immediately, this is something so beautiful that he does. While we're standing there in our filthy garments, in other words, all I got to do is look down at myself, and however clean I think I am, all I have to do is look down, and all my covering tells on me. My clothes tell where I have been. I'm putting a smell out there of stench of where I have been. So I've messed up. But God says, get those clothes off of him and go get my clothes. Real quick, chapter 61 and verse 10. Will you just pull that one for me? Because of this scripture. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him. See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes." Isaiah 61 and 10. You got it? I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. Now that's Old Testament. Now get this scripture ready. Revelation 9. There's three scriptures right there. Verse 17 through 19. This is around the throne of God. This is at the end of days. So this was Old Testament, and this is New Testament. And this is what he does with the old garments. This is the proof of it right here in Revelation chapter 9, verse 17. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. I don't think that's the right scripture. Somebody messed it up. Could have been me. Because I got y'all nervous, y'all like. It looked like I was standing in front of the dryer came on. 19.
Hold on now. Operator error. I'm going to the source. Revelation 19. Here we are. We used to have these things when I was a kid. The Bible drills. Anybody remember them? I remember one time I made a dollar. I made a dollar, and I went upstairs, and they were taking up an offering for missionaries. I got convicted and gave them my dollar, and I like. See if we got it. 19. Verse 7, 8, and 9. Dianya. It wasn't you. It was me. So plainly to see. Okay, 19, verse 7, 8, 9. Let us, okay, this is a New Testament picture of this. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. So this is a true saying, and what he's saying is, put my fine linen on them. And then he says, the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. This thing gets really, it gets exciting right here. Because we start getting a picture of, wait a second, I am standing here in all of my dirty clothes. And he says, take them off and put them in my fine linen. In other words, he sees you completely redeemed from your sin. At the end of time, in the judgment day, standing clean before him. And he says that those clean, fine linens are the righteous acts of the saints. And you ain't done nothing. You see that? Now, do you see how you can compare that to the enemy trying to tell you all the bad that you've done, but God's looking at you as already clean, and you haven't done anything, but he calls even your garments righteous acts. He's a big God. I will clothe you with rich robes. Now that's what the angel of the Lord is saying, that this is God speaking, and he's saying, I've removed your iniquity for you. But then in verse 5, it's very interesting, he said, and I said, this isn't God talking anymore. This is the prophet Zechariah. See, Zechariah already knew the situation in real life time. In lifetime, in live action, he knew how the priests of God looked, and he knew how God's people were guilty. And he knew those robes were dirty. And God had to give him a vision. In other words, he had to get him out of his natural state so that he could see into the spiritual. And even that, God didn't lie about the situation. As he put Joshua there in the vision, oh yes, the robes are dirty, but I call him clean. And God made a move. And Zechariah said, can I get in on it too? God said, get those clothes off of him. And Zechariah spoke up and said, and get a clean turban and put it on his head. Does it say it? And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Let me tell you what's going on right here. Everything that's made the high priest unbelievable just made him believable again. It just defeated all the enemy's lies. In other words, he's not being that judgmental Christian. Sorry about that. There's a word for that. We ain't supposed to be that, y'all. But God cut through that to say, yeah, I saw him when he was dirty, but God touched him. Now I can only look at him one way. It's clean. And if his head's clean, the rest of him's clean. Right? Clean through and through. And that's the picture that we're supposed to have of our brothers and sisters. If you know somebody else's past, you got one too. I walked by that closet a little while ago. It was cracked open. I thought, well, here's the church. This is a good place for us to crack the closet open and stop worrying about what's inside the closet. Because all God's children got a closet. And if you shake them, they all got bones in them. Thank you for permission to go ahead, brother. I was going. I done got fired up. Because if we don't get that into us, we will find ourselves, like I said last Sunday, on the back side of a scripture, the wrong side. I don't mind being on the wrong side of things. I actually like discovering when I'm wrong. I like to see that I'm wrong, because I'll admit it. If I can see that something can show me that I'm wrong, I want to change and be right, because otherwise I'm just stubborn And my pride is getting me where I'm going to be right more than anything. I have to be right. At least I have to win the argument. Can I tell you, can I meddle for just a second? That's how we get in trouble in our marriages. If all we do is just get head to head and one has to be right, I've got to be right. I don't care how bad I hurt you, I got to be right. And then she lets me up for a second. But she's so cute. You know that they don't believe that. She said, "You always throw me under the bus." That's the easiest woman in the world to live with, I'm telling you. So, and I got to go home with her this afternoon, so I got to bail myself out a little bit. I ain't all looks, Brent. I got a little bit of sense in there, too. But this scripture, Romans 8 and 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ." And all the believers said, "Thank you, Lord." "Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So it gives a parenthetical statement right there. If you're in Christ, you don't walk according to your flesh. You walk according to the Spirit. And it's evident. And for you, because of that, there's no condemnation with that. But why do we always feel condemned? Don't we? We feel condemned because the enemy doesn't stop his chirping in our ear. But to be on the right side of this scripture, and I don't want to walk or feel condemnation in my life, I've got to be able to get the proper perspective of how he sees me. He sees it already finished for me. Jesus said it is finished. So that meant everything that had to be done for me to be saved was completely taken care of right then. Now I have to walk that thing out. And that's where faith comes in again, because faith will come in over and over and over and over again in our lives. But this is a huge time of faith in our lives when we understand that the work that Jesus did is finished. Now we just have to walk in it. So there's no condemnation if we're in Christ. Another reason why we need to be in Christ. So let's look at Ephesians real quick. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm really going as quick as I can. I almost took a side trail right then, but I'm not going to. Ephesians, and I heard them hallelujahs. Identity. Ephesians is huge about our identity. And it's he's restoring our position, just like in the Old Testament. And things that happen in the Old Testament that are also happened in the New Testament, they looked forward hoping to see those things. And the Bible says that you're privileged now to see things that those of old longed to see, and you're walking in it right now. What an incredible time to be in, if we'll just see it. And this is what he's showing us, our identity, and what he's showing you in the book of Ephesians. That's why I always tell you it's one of my favorite books, is that it tells you how Christ sees you. Not how the enemy tells you Christ sees you. I don't know what this means, but I do it all the time. And y'all that are laughing, you respond to it. How about that? So we all crazy. Visitors, understand we're a little bit crazy in here. But you liked that one, didn't you? My eggs have been restored. Identity is my position in Christ is this, is that his victory is my victory. And that's where I got to land this plane. And that's where I've got to do my walking in my life, is that my victory was really his victory. That's where my righteousness shows up. That's where it talked about these robes that I'm in now are now the righteous acts of the saints. That's not my righteousness, it's his righteousness. And what he sees is his righteousness, because if he looked at my righteousness, I'd be in trouble. So I need to always remind myself, I ain't all that. Look at your neighbor and tell him, this is your chance to be mean. You ain't all that. But thank God he's all that. Before we get too mean and people start throwing blows, you ain't all that.
Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 20. Now, I'm going to try to keep this thing in the realm of a courtroom. So if you can see it, try to see the courtroom right now. Okay? Ephesians 6, verse 10. So it's talked about our identity, and then it comes to this. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of whose might? His. Put it in the right place. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In other words, stand against the devil's schemes. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says we're not ignorant of his schemes. But for some reason, even though we're not ignorant of them, we keep falling for them. Tired of falling. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against it. I was going to use two brothers, very close in age, both strong young men, but I'm not going to do it. It'd be fun, though. I was going to have them come up here and wrestle for a second, but not really wrestle. Just like assume the position of losing, because the biblical description of wrestling is that two people are going against each other until one person gets the other person down and has his hand on their neck. And y'all, brothers, I was going to let y'all win equally, just so you know. I didn't want to start a fight here that was going to be finished out there. They're part of our safety team. That fight could get bad quick. Woo! Like, hold your ears. We knew that, David. But you're still older. But he's still stronger. We had this thing out here. We had they had this fun thing going on here with all these blown up water and those. And everybody was sliding down them. And Ryan is one of Ryan's first times. He had his shirt off. And Ryan's got a lot of tattoos. And they're like, Pastor John, I didn't know you had all those tattoos. I was just... just kidding. Just kidding. Ba-dooch. Okay, I'll bring it back. I'll bring it back for the end. Wrestling. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Now listen, I know that there's spiritual warfare, and I'm good with spiritual warfare, but if we feel like our winning against the enemy is based on how much time we can pray and fast and beg and plead with God that please show up, can I tell you he's already down? Because I'm really careful about songs that we sing about the Holy Spirit, like, if you'll just come down, come down. Please come down. Can I tell you, he's already down. He's down. You don't have to beg him down. You have to recognize he's down. And be thankful that he's down. And it'll cut this fighting down. We don't wrestle again, but there is a battle that's going on, but we got to get perspective, okay? And that's where I got to get us to right here. Okay. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore. I think he's trying to get you in a position. Stand. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Can I just stop for a second? Can I just preach truth for just a second? It says, having your waist or your loins girded about with truth. The area of your loins, this area on your body is where reproduction and elimination takes place. And the Bible says, having your loins girded about with truth. What,
What in the world could that mean? I'll tell you what it means. Truth is supposed to be reproduced in your life. Waste is supposed to be eliminated from your body. And if you get that mixed up, if you start eliminating truth instead of reproducing truth, if you eliminate truth, you'll reproduce lies. But if you eliminate the lies, you'll reproduce the truth. That's how important it is. Y'all got a little nervous on that biology lesson, I could tell. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, which is with you able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And then he said, pray for me. Paul said this. Paul said, pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. There's a way that God wants you to speak, but instead of just uttering things out, Paul said this. Paul had something to say. He said, when I open my mouth, pray for me. You know what that tells me? When I open my mouth, I need prayer. When we open our mouth as believers, we need prayer. I need prayer so that what I say will be believable because it's His words, not mine. I'll play nice and I'll move on. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 6, and I think we're going to be able to finish it up right here. For though we walk in the flesh, you remember that thing? No condemnation to those who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but all walk after the Spirit. Tags right into this verse. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Because if we would war according to the flesh, we would just wrestle everything according to the flesh. And we would surround ourselves that look like it would give us an advantage, missing the true advantage that's invisible and replacing it with things that look physical. And why is it that, as I was talking about, we wrestle when our position, what did I say a minute ago? That our victory is His victory. And if we don't get the right picture of that, all of a sudden, instead of Him having His hand over the enemy's throat, we've got Jesus down with the enemy on Jesus' throat. My one problem with youth groups, they had these things called human videos, and they'd get up here and they'd do all this stuff. Jesus always takes a beating from the youth group. It's like Jesus always gets beat up in the human videos. And then at the end, He's victorious. But I'm like, somebody please quit beating up Jesus. I mean, does it happen? I mean, it happens. Just kind of being a little bit facetious, but He does. Jesus takes a beating on our human videos. You know it's true. Y'all used to beat the heck out of Jesus all the time. I'm like, quit beating on Him. He's victorious because His victory is my victory. And if we start looking at Him like He's always getting beat on, we're going to start saying, we automatically associate, yeah, that's why I'm getting beat on. That's why the enemy's always beating on me. That's why the enemy's always, when I'm always victorious in Him. In Him, I got to keep that directive exactly right every time. I am victorious in Him and because of Him, and nothing of me but all of Him. That helps me keep that place of victory. So this is what it says. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So let me just tell you that. Arguments, when the enemy comes in with reasons why you are not good enough, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. He does not say high thing or low thing. He's saying anything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, that is a high thing that needs to be torn down. You got to get the picture of that. Anything. He will not call it like, well, that's just a little thing, or that's a pretty big thing, or that's a huge thing, or that's a medium thing. He says, anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of me becomes a high thing in your life, and it becomes a hurdle for you, even though it's not a hurdle for me. If your perception is off, you're thinking God's having a hard time with this one. Why has God not shown up yet on this one? And our mind starts going that way, right? I'm trying to help you here. This is what the Word says. And He says that we're supposed to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Sorry, I'm fumbling. I spent all last Sunday trying to get to this part. And it's very short. And I didn't get there. But I'm here now. All of that, trying to get you to get a picture of heaven as a court setting. Understanding that the righteous judge is there. That the accuser of the brethren is there. And he's out of position because of the righteousness of God. That righteousness calls me into position with God. And it sets me apart from everything that the enemy can throw against me. Everything. And if we're not careful, we'll always be at war with the enemy. We'll always be at war. Because if the enemy can talk you into engaging with him, do you understand that God never engaged with the enemy? In that vision, there was no, you say your side, I'll say my side. At the end, the judge will speak. There's a word for that. It's called parley. That's when you have two different groups, and they give their arguments, and it is a place of defense where I have to say things just right, and if I can get the evidence just right, we will debate this thing back and forth, and we'll come to a knowledge of who's right and who's wrong. There is no parlay with God. None. But if the enemy can get you to engage into battle, then you lose your place of standing. Because your place of standing, all that stuff that he said is his armor. That's his stuff, not your stuff. It's there for you. But if the enemy can get you to engage, then you're going to be out of position when the victory is already fixed because you belong to him. His word says that we are preordained. In other words, he has gone to the end and settled the end so that we work life back. It's a big thing to grasp into your mind. But if you could understand and have the faith, not what I've done, but because of what he's done, it is finished. It is fixed. I am victorious. You will approach your prayer life differently. And you will engage the enemy in a different way. You will engage him as if a courtroom setting. And this is what I've been wanting to tell you for 3 weeks. This right here. Don't go to war. Go to court. Stop going to war. Go to court. The Bible says that we're citizens of heaven, right? Citizens don't go to war. Armies go to war. I have a citizenship, and my citizenship is in heaven. And if I will take the courtroom setting with God on the throne and Jesus as my advocate and the enemy as the adversary, I always win every time. Jesus's witness. If you understand how your Bible's written, you'll understand that Jesus said this about Satan. You know why Satan couldn't stay? He couldn't say anything? Why, when God said, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan," that was a reminder right there to Satan. Satan got that completely. You understand that there was no rebuttal to that. Because Jesus said this about Satan. He said, "I beheld Satan, and he was cast out of heaven like lightning." Do you understand that there is no opponent of God? There's no opponent of God. God does not have a worthy opponent because Jesus beheld the opponent like lightning fall out of heaven. So what does that do for you? It puts you into a position. And the clothes of righteousness that you now have are from His closet. And the fine linen that you wear are because of His righteousness. And we should be so grateful for that. Whoever's going to come, will you come and please? If we get this right, it'll change the way we pray. It'll change the way we walk. It'll change the way we talk. We won't be fearful. It should be good enough if I could tell you that you won't be afraid as you once were. That'd be good news for some of us. You mean I'm not going to be afraid as I once was? You mean I'm going to be a little bit stronger? But that would be telling you a lie instead of the truth. Because if you get the picture right, you won't be afraid at all. You'll walk differently. You'll talk differently. I told this story. I'll close with this. When I was about the eighth grade, something about eighth grade really stinks. Y'all saw how nice I was with that, right? Catch me out in the parking lot. I'll tell you something else about it. My son Walker's in the eighth grade. It's hard. It breaks my heart sometimes. Hard. Hard. It's just hard. And on top of being hard, a lot of times there's bullies. Bullies. And I had a bully. And I wish I could tell you that I stood up to him and boom, it was the shot heard around the world. I knocked him out. It was like David and Goliath. No. He was so mean. I remember we were in the band room one time. And they had these big closets and they were always locked. And I always wondered what was inside of those closets. They were just always locked. But he walked up to me and he was a big guy. And he yelled something at me and got in my face, and he turned and wham, he hit one of those closets and knocked a big hole in it. And I know he was thinking that was my face and he was trying to scare me and all that. I was already scared. He wasted a good punch because I was already there. I was walking in Scaredville every day. But I remember one day my oldest brother was going to pick me up from school. And it was the bravest I got in the whole situation. And I walked up to him. And his name was Mac. I know I told y'all some of this. His name was Mac. It's like the perfect name for the biggest guy at school. Mac. And Mac's standing there. And I just said, "Hey, Mac." I said, guess who's picking me up from school today? Like that. Guess who's picking me up from school today? I said, my big brother's picking me up from school today. And all of a sudden, Mac went from this to... He had the dumbest look on his face. I can say that with such relishment now. Relishment, that's a whole other word. I just made it up. You're welcome. Tweet that. Oh, Mac, he had the dumbest look on his face. I wish he knew how dumb he looked. I would have loved to stand behind somebody and yell at him how dumb he looked. But when I told him my big brother's coming to pick me up, he equated that I had told my big brother everything. And my big brother's going to come finish the score, settle the score with Mac. And Mac wasn't going to be so big anymore. And you know what it did to me? It made me walk different. It's the first time I'd ever seen Mac scared. Mac never messed with me after that. He didn't know who was picking me up anymore. But I realized I got an ace in the hole with this thing. Anybody hear what I'm saying? And I'm telling you, if you'll stop going to war every time with the enemy and start going to court and taking your position, you don't even have to go to court. You just have to take your position and say, I know who I am. I know who I am. I know it's finished. And even my garments that get soiled, because I'm still human, sometimes these garments get a little soiled. Anybody's garments ever get a little soiled? I still remember he said it's finished. And I still remember when he calls his bride, I'm included in that. And he sees me in his clothes, in his righteousness. And it makes me walk a little different now. And it makes me not afraid. Only when I come into the right position in Him. And if I'll stay there in that position, it changes the way I walk. It changes the way I talk. It changes the way I approach the throne. It changes the way I recognize His presence. And what I've learned now over time is not when His presence comes into the room. It's when I walk away from His presence. That's what I want us to recognize now. If you've not been around His presence much and you come into a place like this where people are worshiping God, you should recognize that. There should be something that you recognize about that, that draws you in and say, I want that in my life. But when you leave, according to His word, that presence goes with you. Now, if you walk away from that presence, you should be aware that, I'm walking away from my standing. And come back to your place of standing. And that's where faith kicks in on Wednesday and on Thursday and any other time during the week. And on 3:00 on Sunday, if the preacher's not too long-winded. When your faith needs to kick in, I just heard a good message that'll help me. Faith in the finished product and your righteousness in Christ will bring you back to a place of peace. Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall from heaven like lightning. There is no worthy opponent. There is no opponent. It's finished. It's done. It's just a lie of the enemy. And it's on us to recognize it. Amen. Can you just thank Him right now for His righteousness? Lord, I thank You for Your righteousness. Can you just thank Him that if it were based, if you're truthful with yourself according to Scripture, if you were to base it on what you've done, you would fall short. All of us would fall short. Every one of us would fall short. Your pastor would fall short. Your pastor's wife would fall short. Everyone in this room falls short. But thank God it's not based on our righteousness. It's based on His righteousness. And can you just thank Him for His righteousness? Can you thank Him for His victory? Because His victory equals your victory. Lord, I thank You that we are victorious by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. We've not suffered to the point of death, and we're grateful for Your word, Lord. And we stand in Your righteousness. And it's because what You've done on the inside of us can now manifest itself on the outside of us. We can walk differently than we walked before. We can talk differently than we talked before. We can believe through faith in the Son of God that He paid the price for us. Thank You for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. If you're at a place of your decision right now, I'd like to give you that opportunity where you just say, I don't understand it all, but I understand enough to know I believe that. I believe Jesus died. I believe He died for my sin, and I will receive that, and that will be my starting place in Him. I believe Jesus died for my sin. If you'll do that, you'll walk differently than you've walked before. You'll stand differently than you stood before. You'll talk differently than you've talked before. What a starting place to Him to know that whatever you've done up to this point doesn't even matter. It can be behind you just like that. And you can start walking in the victory that He paid for. Can somebody say thank You for it, Lord?